lot of you probably know that I'm a fan of the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien. And in his Lord of the Rings epic, he had a lot of memorable lines. And one of them, I think, applies to us today. In the story, Saruman was considered to be among the wise, and his counsel was considered to be important, and his words were to convey wisdom to the people. Well, as it turns out, he was a traitor, and he tried to exalt himself above others and become a ruler. And when his treachery was exposed and when his armies were defeated, there was a confrontation at his stronghold. And during that confrontation, he tried to justify himself. He wanted to be the wise, grandfatherly advice giver. I can help all of you. And there was one character that saw clearly through. His name was Gimli. He was a dwarf. And as he heard Saruman promise to help them and heal them and make them powerful and strong, Gimli said these words. "The words of this wizard stand on their heads," he growled, grasping the handle of his axe. "In the language of Orthanc, help means ruin, and saving means slaying. That is plain." And the point I want you to take from that today is this. Everything is not as it seems. There are evil things that are wrapped up in pretty packages with nice pink bows, and they sound good until you open the package and look and see what's inside. In our world today, there are a lot of poisoned chocolates. They look good. They probably taste good, but after you have swallowed them, they will destroy you. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Holy Spirit, this is your day. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." One more scripture to start, and then we're going to chat for a while. Book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. The prophet was having a vision, and in the midst of this vision, God gave him some clarity about a particular issue. Amos chapter 7, verse 7 begins, "Thus he showed me. Behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not pass them by anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam." Amos prophesied in a time when the morality of the nation had gone to hell in a handbasket. They were following false gods. They were sacrificing to idols. They were treating each other unfairly. They were taking advantage of people at every opportunity. And they were clothing that in an envelope that said, "This is good, this is right, we're taking care of you." But there was inequality everywhere. There was unfairness everywhere. And God says to Amos that, "Look, I've established a plumb line." Do you know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is a weight on the end of a string with a point on the bottom of it. And if that plumb line is hanging still, what happens is, what you have there is a true vertical line. The gravity pulls the plumb bob down, and there is a direct, true vertical line from the top of that string to the point of that plumb line. It's set up by the gravity of the world, and as long as no outside force interferes on that plumb line is true and cannot be changed. We use them in construction. Surveyors back in the day before GPS used to use plumb lines. And the point is this, it's a sure reference. It is true, it is perfect, it is unchanging. And if a wall is built with a plumb line, you can be sure of one thing. If the craftsman follows the plumb line, the wall will be vertical. If he uses a level on it, which is perpendicular to the plumb line, then it'll be true in that direction. There are certain things that are immutable, that are unchangeable, that are cast in stone, so to speak. But Amos wasn't speaking in this vision of a plumb line to build a wall, although that's what he saw. He was talking about a plumb line that is just as true, just as immutable, just as unchanging, just as perfect as that plumb line is, and that plumb line is the revealed Word of God. As written and as interpreted by the Holy Spirit, there is a plumb line for life. And what God was saying to Amos, that in his day, the people of God had departed from the plumb line. They were ignoring it. And what he says, if you read those verses carefully, he says, I'm not going to overlook it anymore. I've been patient. I have tarried. I have given you every opportunity, but the day has come when the plumb line is the plumb line and things will be judged by the plumb line. And if you're not plumb, judgment's coming. And you see, he does that in every generation. He does that in every life. There are times when we, in our personal life, have not been abiding by the plumb line. We've said, yeah, I see where the plumb line points, but I don't like it there. I want to be over here. That makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to step away from it. I'm not going to judge my life by the plumb line that's in the Word of God, that's in the truth of God, that's in the Scriptures of God. I'm going to judge my life by what I want to do, by what feels good, by what sounds right. I'm going to judge my life and what is right and true and holy by what they say on the evening news, by the mandates that come out of Washington, D.C., by the regulations and pronouncements that come out of Frankfurt. Or I'm going to judge my life not by the plumb line of the Word, but by what that preacher said. I'm going to judge my life based on some standard that I agree with and that I want to live by. And I'm going to judge my life by that and forget what God says because I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I want to do what He says not to do. I don't want to do what He commands me to do. After all, in our reasonable, educated, enlightened world, don't we know much better than the ancients who took pen to paper and wrote that word? Aren't we wiser than they are? Haven't we learned more truth than they had? Haven't we figured things out? We figured out how things work, and I'm not so sure there's a God that's got a righteous plumb line anyway. So I'm going to do it my way. And thus we find ourselves where Jeroboam and the people of Israel were in the day when Amos had this vision, and God said, enough is enough. There's a plumb line. I judge by the plumb line. The day of me looking the other way is over. You cross the line, I slap your hand. My friends, if America and the modern American church isn't in the days like that right now, I don't know where we are. I think a lot of times the modern American church has not made God too small in their eyes. They've gotten the eraser out and erased Him. Even in the church world. Even in the church world, we lean on the wisdom of men to tell us what's right and what's wrong and what's reasonable. And such arbitrary lines as, oh, male and female don't matter anymore. Yeah, I'm going to go there. The House of Representatives of the United States passed HB 5, the so-called Equality Act, along strict party lines with three crossovers. It sounds good. It's wrapped up in a pretty pink bow. Equality Act, isn't that good? Shouldn't we treat all people equally? Isn't that the way that the United States government is set up? Yes, that's true. But then you open the package and you look inside. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a biologist. But I know what male looks like and I know what female looks like. Gender identity is not a choice. It is a biological fact. I admit there may be psychological things in play. And I admit that there are people that exhibit cross traits as far as their attitudes and actions. I concede that point. What I don't concede is that a 9 or 10 year old child has enough facts to make a decision that could lead to a gender change procedure. House Bill 5, the Equality Act, would allow that. And parents, you can't stop it. Church, if you counsel somebody in accordance with what the Scripture says, then you are discriminating. And if gender identity is elevated to the same status as race and nationality, and here's a confusing thing, gender. Yeah, the Civil Rights Act says you can't discriminate against somebody because of their age, their gender, their race, or their national origin. The Civil Rights Act of 1964. This act would amend that to include gender identity, sexuality, and a plethora of other things that nobody really knows. You remember when they started passing laws, you know, we'll pass the Obamacare law and then administrators will figure out what it means later. This one's deeper than that. You know, already in Europe, there is one country considering legislation that would demand that all ministers submit their sermons before they are given to a review board to be sure that they're not discriminatory. Think that couldn't happen here? Under HB 5, if it becomes law, that could happen. And they could fine me $50,000 and put me in prison for 15 years for a violation. Medical professionals? I don't want to participate in doing an abortion. I don't want to participate in doing a gender change procedure. Tough, you have no choice. You see, the Equality Act is being sold to us based on freedom to make your own decision and make your own choice. If someone decides that they want to live in a particular lifestyle, then you know, under the United States Constitution and law, they should be allowed to do that as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Under the plumb line, there's a little different interpretation. But here's the thing. You choose, and the consequences are yours. But the so-called Equality Act is actually an enslavement. It takes that choice away from you and gives it to the government. What is politically correct becomes the law of the land. And you do not have the ability to choose otherwise. You know, I'm also a Star Trek fan. And in the Next Generation series, there was an episode where the Enterprise visited a planet that was totally androgynous. They had legislated gender care. Although people were physically male and physically female, they had legislated any gender-related behavior or thought out. And if you, for example, wanted to pursue your femininity, you were taken and brainwashed and re-educated to take gender completely out of your thought. My thought at the time, you know, back in the 90s when that was on TV, was such a thing could never happen. You live in a day when a Senate vote and a president's signature and some arbitrary administrator sitting at a desk somewhere could make that order. We have gotten so smart we've become fools. You're going to let a 10-year-old child who's not old enough to drive, who can't buy a pack of cigarettes or a drink of alcohol, who's not old enough to serve in the military, make a lifetime decision on changing gender? What kind of lunacy is that? And historically in this country, since the United States Constitution was passed and the Bill of Rights was added to it, the courts of this nation have always held for religious exemption. Your closely held religious beliefs will exempt you from certain things. There is no exemption in this law that they're considering, which means they can come in and say, well, you know, let's start ripping pages out of your Bible, preacher. Let's take your Christian counselors and say that They cannot counsel against an abortion because that is abortion discrimination or reproductive discrimination or pregnancy discrimination. You can't counsel against it. You surely can't talk to somebody who is participating in an alternate lifestyle, as we like to call it, and tell them, you know what the Bible says, we can't do those things anymore. It's not about choice, it's about government control. It's about political correctness. It's about Big Brother watching you and telling you how to think. Anybody ever read 1984? The Thought Police? If you have a thought or express a thought that is contrary to the government's position, that which is politically correct, we will take you and re-educate you. Do you know that some in Washington, D.C., actually called for children to be taken away from Trump supporters to be re-educated? That ain't fake news. What I'm saying is we have gotten too wrapped up in us, too wrapped up in what sounds good. We have let people tell us. I wonder how many of those people that voted in the House of Representatives for that act had even read it, much less understood what was there. Our party wants us to do it, and it sounds good. It should be good on my resume come re-election when I voted for the Equality Act. That'll get me some votes. I wonder how many actually read it. How many thought about it? We've gotten too wrapped up in us. We have let news readers read things to us and allowed that to shape our thoughts instead of thinking for ourselves. Come, let us reason together, God says. What's right and fair and true and reasonable? Romans chapter 1. Starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What establishes godliness and righteousness? The plumb line, the truth, the Word. We're judged righteous by the Word. We're judged unrighteous by the Word. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So, if you prevent people from accessing the truth, if you take away their right to read and choose, you are suppressing the truth. And that can be done for political reasons. We've got historical precedent. Do you suppose the news media in Nazi Germany provided any information that Germany was losing the war? Or that casualties on the Russian front were ridiculous? Do you suppose they reported any bad news? No, they didn't, because they wanted to control how people thought. It's called manipulation. The Bible equates it to witchcraft. When there is a twisting of the truth, that is a suppression of righteousness, of truth. You can't get by with it. It has consequences. He goes on to say down a verse or two, men are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. What does it mean to be futile? Ineffective. Something that is futile cannot accomplish that which it is intended to accomplish. So their thoughts became powerless, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. I think that many who try to guide our thoughts are professing to be wise. And not only are they becoming foolish in their so-called wisdom, but they are trying to make us more foolish than they. There are certain things that are immutable truths. Some we can see with our eyes, we can experience. Others we read about in the truth of the Word of God. But some things cannot be shaken. Day follows night. The sun moves in the sky from east to west. Actually, the sun doesn't move. We move around it. The laws of physics are set. The laws of biology are set. Now, we can manipulate them, but the basic laws and truths are set. that which is inherently right and just is set. And when we twist and pervert that which is right and that which is just, when we take all reason out of things, when a parent could get their child taken away from them, not because they abused them, but because they did not permit them to abuse themselves, we've lost all of our sense. I pray to God that there's one senator on the liberal side of that Senate floor that has the intestinal fortitude to say, there are provisions in that law that are ridiculous. I will not vote for it. I don't care if the party sends me a check next campaign or not. The people that are leading this profess to be Christian. The Speaker of the House uses her Catholicism as a platform that what she is doing is good and holy and right and pure, and she's doing God's work. I'm sorry, but not according to the Bible that I read. For the record, this is not political speech. This is issue speech. Just so happens to be executed along political lines. So what happened to these people who professed to be wise and became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man? You see, isn't that what they're doing? They're trying to take the truth of the Scripture and twist it around to where it's not what God says, but it's what man says about what God says. Let's emphasize this part over here and forget the other 99%. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts. You know, when God set that plumb line, and he told the prophet that he was going to judge people by it, he took a step back and said, y'all do what you want to do and the consequences are going to follow. And that's what he's doing today. Human beings are going to do what human beings want to do. And they're either going to judge that based on a godly yardstick, based on a plumb line, or they're going to judge that based on the wisdom of men. And the consequences appropriate to either choice will follow. I believe that in many ways God has withheld his hand of judgment from this nation and this people for a long time. He's been patient. He has warned us. He sent prophets and messengers. He's allowed us to see the consequences, and we go right on doing what we want to do anyway. So who can judge the judge if he judges based on what he told you he was going to judge on? If the judge judges according to the law, who can fault him? You should have gave me another chance. I've given you 43. I could have judged you 20 years ago, but I waited because I thought you might come to your senses. One of our readings today in our reading cycle includes the story of the prodigal son. And he made bad choices. And every day, while he was off living in sin, his father would go up to the hilltop and I wonder if he's coming home today. The father in that story is God. When we make those bad choices, when we go down wrong roads, when we choose destructive paths, he says, I wonder if he's coming home today. And what happened when the prodigal son came home? Daddy didn't punish him. He put his best robe on him. He put his ring on him, which gave him authority, and he killed the best animal in the flock and had a party. I want you back. God is screaming to America, to America's church, to those who were lost and dying in their sin. He's screaming at the top of his lungs in this day, I want you back! Come home! The rest of that reading in Luke, by the way, were the stories of the 90 and 9, where the shepherd leaves the 99 that are safe in the sheepfold and goes seeking the one that's lost. And the woman who had 10 silver coins and lost one and searched diligently until she found it and then called all of her friends and said, let's have a party. I found that which was lost. God desires restoration. He has to judge because it's who he is. It's right. It's true. He would be false to himself if he said, I cannot execute judgment because it just breaks my heart to do it. But he said, there's a line. There's a plumb line. You're on the wrong side. I've given you every opportunity to repent and you don't. So as much as I hate the thought of it, judgment will fall. Oh, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? He doesn't. He made the mark. You choose where you walk. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, dropping down as even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. You see, the longer you stay in sin, the more established it becomes in your thinking. The longer you stay in a life that is contrary to the plumb line of God's Word, whether it be lying, cheating, stealing, or robbery and murder. The longer you stay in it, the more established it becomes in your personality and in who you are. A lot of us as parents have probably reached the point where we told one of our children, look, I've tried to talk you out of it. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. I just want you to know that the consequences are your own. I still love you. I welcome you home anytime you come. But the consequences of your choices are yours. I tried. Have at it. I think that's what God does a lot of times. He reaches that point where, look, I've talked to you till I'm blue in the face. I've tried to reason with you. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. Go ahead. I tried. I'm here when you come back, but I tried. But here's what is scary too. And I'm pointing this to our friends and brothers and sisters and fellow Americans. Of course, you're not allowed to say that, by the way, in the House of Representatives anymore. You cannot use any gender-identifying pronouns or nouns. You cannot write a piece of legislation in the House of Representatives that says husband or wife or mother or father. It must be done gender-neutral. Rules of the House of Representatives passed at the beginning of this session. You see, just because you choose to ignore the truth doesn't change the truth. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That's a pretty broad target. I'm not shooting at one bullseye. When I say this, I'm gonna do what Paul did here. That is a pretty broad target when you look at all of those things. It says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, which things? The things I just read in that list, are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve those who practice them. Who does the House of Representatives represent? The people of their districts. They are our representatives. They are supposed to do what we would do were we in their place. A whole lot of 226 of them approved that piece of legislation. They approved those who practice evil. In your name, by the way. So here's my point, people. There is a plumb line. There is truth. Truth is not subject to personal interpretation. Truth is truth. The Holy Spirit interprets truth. That plumb line is plumb regardless of whether you want it to be skewed at 15 degrees or not. There is right, there is wrong. God judges according to the plumb line, not according to your interpretation of the plumb line. Well, I know that's vertical, but I really like this better. Don't matter. Vertical, still vertical. True is still true. God is still God. How does this apply? Personally, align yourself to the plumb line. That doesn't mean we won't stumble. It doesn't mean we won't trip and fall. It doesn't mean we won't end up face first in a mud hole somewhere. It doesn't mean we won't get a brick out of line when we're building our wall. What it does mean is when you figure out that brick's out of line, move it and fix it. When you figure out you fell on your face in a mud hole, get up, wash the mud off, and don't step in that hole on the way by again. Personal holiness and personal righteousness is a series of choices. It's not a one-time choice. You are set positionally right when you kneel at an altar of prayer and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are positionally righteous. In all practicality, we all fall in the mud hole on a regular basis. The question is not if we fall in the mud hole, it's what do we do when we fall in. When the prodigal son came to his senses in the pig pen, he said, I've got to go home. I might have lost my privilege by going home, but I've got to go home because things were right at home. Doesn't matter how many times you fall down. What matters is how many times do you get up. How many times do you try to do that which is right and pure and true and holy? So on a personal level, line yourself up to the plumb line. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. Fix it and move on. As families, we love ourselves. We love each other. And we try to do and advise what is right and pure and true and holy. And when someone chooses to go a different direction, we don't stop loving them. We do like that prodigal father, the prodigal son's father did, and we go to the hilltop every day and look, see, Are they coming back yet? And when they do, kill the fatted calf and have a party. As a congregation, what do? We stand for that plumb line. We stand for what is pure and true and righteous. We preach the truth. We share information. We try to do that which is right and pure and true and holy. And we don't judge people. We judge sin. And we have an outlook like that father of the prodigal son that says, when somebody has crossed the line, when are they coming back? We'll have a party when they do. As citizens of this city and state, as citizens of this nation, what do? We demand that those who receive our votes represent our position. We vote for people who will uphold what is good and pure and true and holy, what is on the plumb line. And we do not vote for people who have taken public positions that are contrary to the truth of the Word of God. We educate, we inform, we whisper in the dark places, and we shout from the rooftop what is pure and true and holy and righteous. And we don't move the plumb line. It's not in our province to move the plumb line. God established the plumb line. We can't move it, we can't bend it, we can't shake it, and we shouldn't ignore it. It's either truth or it's a lie. How much lie does it take to turn a truth into a lie? The smallest possible percentage. And above all, we undergird all of these things with prayer and study and meditation and spending time in the presence of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to interpret the truth to us. Lord, I see in your word where this is true and this is false. How do I incorporate that truth into my life? How do I love people and hate sin? How do I take the situation that I'm in where I see someone is going down a destructive path? How can I help them? What can I do to help your kingdom to come on this earth? We live in challenging times. We live in the time of COVID-19 and House Bill 5. We live in a time where there is an unrelenting assault on conservatism, on Christian principle, on the historic freedom that the church has had to interpret Scripture and profess it, on the rights of parents and families to raise their family in accordance with their own conscience, according to whatever standard that may be. It's a challenging time we live in. And who can possibly speak truth into such a turbulent time other than men and women who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them? Men and women who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And yes, I unashamedly use those two words. And there is a difference, regardless of what some legislation may say. God fearfully and wonderfully made them, male and female, He made them. And we can't change that fact. Stand with me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance and rededication before we take the Lord's Supper. It's appropriate that we should do that. Father, not only have we often made you too small in our eyes, very often we have ignored you or chosen to dismiss what you say. Forgive us. We recognize the truth of your word. We recognize that there is a plumb line, which is the word of God as interpreted by the Spirit of God. And we choose to walk by that plumb line. We choose to speak according to that plumb line. We choose, Lord, to follow after you according to that plumb line. And when we stumble, Lord, we know that you await us to return. And that when we return, there's a celebration in heaven. Father, forgive us. Forgive our sin. Forgive sins of commission, Lord, for the things that we have done. And forgive sins of omission for those things which we should have done and have not done. Forgive us for ignoring the prompting of your Spirit. Forgive us for being ignorant of your word and out of communication with your Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for giving Jesus a black eye by our words and our actions and our deeds. And forgive us, Lord, for not being Christ-like in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do. Amen.